an update on an American home. We began the story of the encampment under the 509 bridge several months ago. You can listen to previous episodes at radiotacoma.org/public affairs. Look for American Home. The 509 encampment is home to many people, and they are struggling to get support from the city, which is promised but never arrives.
This is Louisa Beal with Radio Tacoma, and I'm here with Arrow, and we are under the 509 bridge that goes over the Puyallup River. This is an update on the encampment here. It looks very different from when I was here last. So, Arrow, it looks like everything's under the bridge now.
Yeah, so the eviction that took place a couple of months ago, we were told that everything outside of the bridge area was not allowed, that that was tribal land, and that everything under the bridge area would be safe from eviction, at least for that portion. But the police ensured that it should be safe from eviction indefinitely. The day of the eviction, people from all over the Tacoma community, all over the region, from Olympia to Seattle, came to help support our community here. And it was really beautiful to see that solidarity. And we helped as many people as we could move as much of their stuff onto the bridge and rebuild new structures as we could, while in the background, the police and contractors were bulldozing the structures to the ground. And then in November, the tribal police came and offered another eviction notice that folks here under the bridge are on tribal land and are set to be evicted.
Wait a minute. Okay, so I'm hearing a conflict of information here.
Yes, absolutely. When we were on the day of the initial eviction, we were told that everything under the bridge would be cleared from a sweep. But now in November, they came here and gave, at that time, a 24-hour notice. And, you know, we did our best to, Food Not Bombs did our best to mobilize and resist that through the system, which seemed to have gotten a stay, and we're not so sure for how long. But that threat of eviction also galvanized members of Food Not Bombs, along with other activists around Tacoma and around the region, to found a coalition, Tacoma Housing Now. And so that was sort of one of the beginnings of founding Tacoma Housing Now, that moved from doing mutual aid work and the type of work that we're already doing here with Food Not Bombs into taking direct action to try to get our folks housed as much as possible and as quickly as possible.
Okay, so I may ask a question that you don't want on the radio. Okay, so, you know, just let me know. But, of course, I'm always interested in what's going on. So the tribe said in November that you had to move completely out of here. And I thought this was Tacoma property.
I'm not a lawyer, and I don't work for the city, so I can't promise that what I'm saying is 100% accurate. But the impression that I'm under, which I think is what's happening, is that all of this land is tribal land. And of course, every inch of land on the North American continent is indigenous land.
Good point.
And we do recognize that. In the current legal structure and framework that we're working in, all of this land is tribal land. And at the time, there had been a dispute over who had jurisdiction. So the claim was that jurisdiction outside of the bridge was tribal land. And jurisdiction under the bridge, while tribal land, what fell under the city of Tacoma because it was directly under the bridge. And so that fell under the jurisdiction of you know, the Department of Transportation and Tacoma PD, ultimately. And then areas of the bridge that were close enough to the port potentially fell under the jurisdiction of port police. So there seemed to have been a jurisdictional dispute.
So how much more confusing can this get?
Yeah, I think that where most of us are coming from is that all of this land is tribal land, and we recognize that, and we want to honor that the best that we can, while also balancing the needs of some of the most marginalized communities. And again, there are indigenous people that live here. There are Puyallup tribal members that live here. And so, you know, and there's Black folks that live here, and there's trans folks living here, and there's women and who are survivors of domestic violence and a lot of really terrible things that are all living here. So we're doing our best to weigh indigenous sovereignty and balance that with the reality that, you know, people need housing, and there's a very real system of police terror. If folks leave here and they're in Tacoma PD jurisdiction, then the systemic racism that we're seeing all across the country is going to play itself out all across the city of Tacoma, which is why a lot of the folks came here in the first place, was to get away from that, to get into a space that no one was using, that was previously a landfill. And so they came here in the first place to get away from that systemic racism, systemic, homophobia and sexism and patriarchy, and to get far enough away from, you know, the police sweeps and all of that, that they could potentially be safe. But clearly that's not how it ended.
So how is Tacoma Housing Now different?
So that's why Tacoma Housing Now started. And after we started doing actions, it became clear that the need for Tacoma Housing Now was so prevalent, because the bureaucracy and the system is literally not built to get these folks into housing. And so, for instance, when activists from Tacoma Housing Now and local activists from houseless camps working together, it's an egalitarian relationship, seized Galt Middle School, they were told by the city that the folks would be offered services. But the reality was that at that time, before the Galt seizure, there was only 35 beds at a warming center that was only open in inclement weather. And myself, along with another street medic, found Tommy Hutchinson, who was in his 60s, after having passed away from exposure. When we were doing our medical rounds for Food Not Bombs. And that was a night in which the warming center wasn't even open. So the city is saying, well, there's services. We're going to provide services. They can't live here, so we'll provide services. But there are no services. And so ultimately, everyone ended up back at the camp. And they did know that that was a big possibility the entire time. And they chose to make this because they see themselves as a part of this movement. And they are a part of this movement. And so Once Galt had happened, then activists from Tacoma Housing Now went to the mayor's house and led a convoy to the mayor's house and to say, hey, what are you going to do? People are literally dying. And the mayor did promise to meet us, and the mayor did meet us. But we literally could not even get porta potties here. We couldn't get porta potties here. We couldn't get hand washing stations here. And we were saying, hey, like, what is the hang up here? And the mayor of Tacoma said that the hang-up is that they are worried that if they bring porta-potties here without a service provider, that someone here at this camp will seize control over the porta-potties and charge people or exploit people to use the toilets.
I'm sorry. I can't stop laughing. No. There's got to be another reason.
Right. So what we've been saying in Tacoma Housing Now the entire time is, we want to work in the system. We will work in the system. Our only compromise, if we're going to talk about compromise, our only compromise is that we will not allow one more death. That's not acceptable for us. Exactly zero deaths are acceptable. So any solution that the city pins back to us that includes the possibility of someone continuing to die, that's not a compromise. They're not compromising political, they're compromising human lives, and we will not compromise human lives.
So what are people here doing about hygiene and water facilities and that sort of thing?
Well, now that the pandemic has upsurged again, and everything has shut down, there's no answer. And the answer is that, you know, people are doing whatever they have to do, and it's going wherever it has to go. And Food Not Bombs and other really amazing local mutual aid collectives have really stepped up to do our best. But, you know, we don't have the resources that the city has. And, you know, so that's what we've been continuing to say to the city, is that, like, we shouldn't be out here risking our lives in a pandemic to do something that is your job. This is your job. Do your job, right? And we'll work with you, but we won't accept one death. So when the porta potties was denied and the trash services was denied because they refused to do trash service here, activists from Tacoma Housing Now collected over 100 garbage bags and dumped it in front of City Hall.
So what was the response to that?
Well, the bags were gone within less than 24 hours. So
I'm sorry. I can't stop laughing. This is so crazy.
So clearly the city has the facilities to remove these trash bags. They're just not extending it to this community. You know, and so then after that, there was more deaths that occurred here in Tacoma. And so Tacoma Housing Now activists partook in organizing an event at the Travelodge. And a bunch of folks ended up deciding that they would refuse leaving. And so over the Christmas holiday, over 40 people, over 40 houseless folks were housed at the Travel Lodge in Fife for, 6 days. And, you know, and at that point, the city manager offered that, you know, I promise we're going to have hotel vouchers. We're going to provide services. Everyone's going to be taken care of. Like, give me a chance. And I said, you know, sir, I've been hearing this from every city official I've spoken to, and it doesn't happen. And give me a chance. Give me a chance. Let's do this. We're working together. This is going to be wonderful. This is a good relationship. We're doing this. And then when the police came in and raided it pretty brutally, not a single hotel voucher was given, not one. And the only benefit that was given from that afterwards was one of our members who does have severe health conditions was given a tiny home here in town. And that's a wonderful win for him because he needed to get off the streets.
Which brings me to a question I have. I don't see Junior's truck here. And how is he doing?
So Junior is in a tiny home.
Yay!
And, you know, he also, thanks to one of the Food Not Bombs medics, who's actually a doctor, who advocated for Junior to be in the hospital for an extended period of time. He was given the amount of time he really needed in the hospital, and things are, he's slowly getting better and recovering, which is a good thing, you know? And so, but what we've noticed throughout the whole thing in terms of the bureaucracy that we were talking earlier is that, you know, what Tacoma Housing Now is really doing with our movement is where we are making visible a very clear systemic lack of ability to take care of our community. Because on the one hand, the city keeps telling us, you know, we have services, we're going to do these services, we're going to take care of folks, and time after time after time, nothing happens. No hand washing stations, no porta potties, no housing, you know, no nothing. And we keep saying we want to work in the system and help us work in the system. And every time we say that, the response from the city is, well, we're doing our best with the system in place. Right. So if you're doing your best in the system with the system in place and people are still dying, then clearly working within the system actually is not possible. And so what Tacoma Housing Now is doing is we're proving that. We're proving that there's actually no way for us to work within the system. Business as usual does not work. And so we're going to shut down business as usual. And we're going to be here again and again and again trying to house these folks because one death is unacceptable. And you know, if folks want to get into our movement, you know, this is what we're about, is taking direct action against the city and for our community here, you know, organizing trash days to remove the trash here, you know, you know, we've got a bunch of more things coming up here pretty soon, and we're going to continue until these folks are housed or are given appropriate services. And we will work within the system, but we will not accept a death. So
how can people get involved here?
Well, Tacoma Housing Now has a Facebook, and you can link up with us on a Facebook. And there's also a texting service that will keep folks up to date in terms of, you know, events and things that are happening. And all that information is on the Facebook. And there's a website as well. And then, of course, if folks are just more interested in doing mutual aid work, Food Not Bombs Tacoma has a Facebook and an Instagram. And there's a lot of ways to get involved right now, especially with Food Not Bombs and Tacoma Housing Now. Food Not Bombs just launched a weekly round schedule, so Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, along with our regular distribution day on Saturdays. There's street medics that are providing as much community care as that we can, and some of the street medics already that we have in our collective include mental health workers, EMTs, trained street medics, as well as medical doctors. We've started that program. We also have, you know, our regular food and resource distribution every Saturday that goes on. And, you know, doing mutual aid work is 99% community organizing and only like 1% distributing. So we're in the middle of a pandemic and a lot of people are not able to come out here and risk their lives in this way. And that's fine. So we can drop resources off. We can drop like 20 loaves of bread and a case of peanut butter and jelly to make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for us. Or if people bake bread and want to bake fresh bread for us, or people that want to organize their own local friendship group and family with clothes, or people who want to make hygiene bags, we deliver menstrual packs that have tampons and pads in them so people can put those together. There's just a lot of ways to get involved at your level. So there's no level that's too small. If anyone wants to get involved, reach out to us on Facebook, or on Instagram. And with Tacoma Housing Now, there's a lot of ways to get involved in direct action work from, again, if people are feeling like they can't leave or risk things, there's ways to make signs or make posters or write articles, or a lot of the events that we do involved car brigades. And so people can, that are feeling like they're high risk but want to be there, can like partake in car brigades. The Housing Now movement has turned into a regional movement. Activists in Olympia, activists in Seattle, activists in Portland are all starting to do their own sort of housing movement. And so if folks are listening to this that are outside of that, you know, get connected with those groups. And you know, the last thing I'll say about it I've said from the beginning, and I genuinely believe that this movement, this regional movement and this national movement that is coming up right now, I believe is going to be the framework for the housing movement that is going to sweep this country in the next year or two, because 40 million people are still facing eviction, and that can's getting kicked down the road, but it's going to stop. And at some point that eviction moratorium is going to end. And there's going to be a lot of people facing eviction. And if we build this regional power, if we build this national power now, we are going to have networks able to resist evictions. And there's all sorts of groups popping up and coalitions popping up for eviction defense, where we can show up and stop people from being evicted, or at the very least rapidly move them to new locations. So, you know, now is the time. There's no better time than now, and there's no way to get involved that's too little. So reach out, and I hope to meet anyone who's listening to this.
Wonderful. Thank you. So you said there might be some other people who would have something to say?
Yeah.
Okay.
Arrow took me to meet some of the residents here.
Hello, my name is Nathaniel Stewart.
I'm Rosemary Jones.
Good to meet you. So, I want you to tell me what you want people to know.
I guess I'd like people to know that we're people also, you know.
People forget that, you know?
Yeah. They forget that. And they forget that people need help. And we get forgot about a lot.
They say don't judge a book by its cover, you know, and that's absolutely true. Don't assume you know what's going on with somebody just based off their appearance.
Exactly. So you live here? Looks like you've got a cozy spot.
We do the best we can.
Yeah. Yeah. So what's your day like?
Depends on the day.
It's hard work being homeless. Okay. I'll tell you, let me start off saying that. I still look for work. I've been asking Earl, you know, lately, for work, and I've been trying to, you know, put myself out in the community, you know, more, especially with the help of these guys, you know, cause, sometimes with help, that's all it takes, you know, to, without help, my daily is, I'm going to wake up and I'm probably just going to do what I need to do for the day to get me through the day. With help, you know, that goal is more long-term as far as not for the day, but, you know, for the week or for the month. So where now I'm starting with help. I started asking and looking for work, you know, and I'm asking for clothes, you know, so I can go on interviews and stuff like that. You know, just some of the necessities I need to get me back in the work field and among the community. But
it sounds like you have a list of things in your head that would be very helpful for you.
Yeah, as far as working or here, being down here.
Anywhere here.
Well, down here, yeah, you wake up with that, you know, like... to be warm and to wash yourself and cook with, you need wood. And then going to get wood is that's a job in itself, you know. And then come back and split it up, you know, that's a job in itself. Water, you know, we have to find water. And so it's hard work. And there's a lot of thought put into the daily.
We can't just go, we definitely can't just go, you know, turn a knob on the sink, you know, and pour some water and... turn a knob on the stove, you know, we've got to build a fire. Sometimes that's the trickiest part in itself, is actually getting a fire going some days.
Oh, I would think. Yeah.
It's humbling. Yeah. It's humbling, I say that.
It's amazing that sometimes it takes hours to make something that inside you would have done in maybe 30 minutes, you know?
And we couldn't have done this without, you know, just, you know, other, you know, people from the homeless community, you know, the homeless community actually help out a considerable amount, you know.
Because it looks like you have a community here.
Absolutely. Most of us down here, we've lived together off and on, you know, for many years. So we learned to work together. We pretty much have become like a family, you know. We help each other out. We look out for each other, you know. We protect each other.
And, you know, that's more than a lot of families I know do.
Right. Right.
Yeah. That's because they already have everything, you know.
Yeah.
Other than that, you know, we do the best of what we can, you know. It is humbling, and it gives you a good appreciation for what you don't have or what you did have, you know.
Yeah. But yeah, it would be good that people understood a little bit more and appreciated what they do have.
I mean, if you think back to, you know, to our colony days, this is pretty much what they did. We build our own homes out here, tend to get destroyed, and we have to rebuild. But hey, you know, you learn to get a little better with it every time you have to rebuild. Also, I've learned some of the most amazing things out here. Things I've ended up doing. Things I've never thought I would. Like, I chopped down a whole tree all by myself with a splitting maul, you know? And I counted
the logs that I
cut it down into, and I did the roots, and I did everything, the stump and everything. And I never imagined that one day I would do that all by myself either, you know? But
you must have some amazing biceps.
Oh, nah.
So anything else you'd like to let people know?
Don't sleep on a homeless person, you know. You never count them out for what they might be potentially good for, you know. Like, this is just a temporary situation, which at the same time is practice to get back into the community, you know. You have to take care of this. Well, how am I going to have a home if I can't take care of that? So, you know, start low and work our way up. And that's just what we're doing. We're just working to get... It's always a day of improvement. It's always a day of improvement. But at the same time, don't turn your back on us, because we're here, you know.
I would say you never know who you're going to end up having a conversation with or be sitting next to, you know. We all have our own stories, you know. We all come from somewhere. And we all know what it's like to have things and to have lost it all. You never know. And most people, honestly, you're a day away from being in my same situation.
One paycheck away from not getting, from being out here, you know.
Yeah. Therefore, but for fortune, go you or I.
And some of us choose to continue to live this way, though. You know, it becomes, sometimes you feel more free, I'll be honest, you know, but, or you get to a point where you're so used to being outside that you can't imagine being indoors anymore.
Amongst the homeless community, you'll form bonds and friendships and to where you won't want to leave from being around that person, you know, and, that's what I'm saying. Like, everybody helps each other out, you know, and that's pretty much what it is. How, you know,
that's why it seems to me it's much more logical to help you build up what you already have rather than splitting everybody up and sending them into different shelters.
Oh, I'm so glad you said that. Absolutely. Most of us down here, at least, would much rather prefer it to stay as a group in a community than be split up, you know, because we come to depend on each other, really, you know?
You know, like a lot of agencies, they'll try and find us homes and housing, and they'll get somebody housing, but then you take that person out of their group setting that they've been living amongst somebody for like 3 or 4 years where they, you know, there's attachments, and you send them out like to Lakewood by themselves, and then they ended up, you know, losing that apartment because, yeah, they're isolated, they're by themselves, there's nobody to talk to, they don't know where to get help, you know, basic things. And then they end up leaving that apartment and coming back out here, and that makes the success rate low. You know, to where if you do that, like, in a group, you know, like, people already been living together, like, a couple years, well, you know, put them in a home together or an apartment building together. That way they can help each other out.
Or go to school together.
Yeah.
So I think that that's an inherent display of how backwards the service provider, the nonprofit industrial complex really is that like in mutual aid work, the word, the Food Not Bombs and the work that Tacoma Housing Now does, like we center the voices of the folks that we serve as inherently being the best decision makers for what's best for them. And the nonprofit industrial complex sees folks that are houseless as irrational actors, as people who are flawed characterly, they've made mistakes in life, and so they sort of need to be controlled in order to be better, right? So even the tiny home villages that are here in Tacoma, they're under 24-hour surveillance. There's no substance use allowed at all, even drinking. There's no guests or visitors allowed. You know, and there's all of these rules, right? And a lot of the shelters are done by gender, right? So if you're a partnership with someone of a different gender, then you're split up. One is sent to one shelter, one is sent to another shelter. And so they have all of these rules. And as a society, we are continuing to see houselessness as a product of character flaw instead of a systemic result of a society that puts profit before people. And so it's easier to explain that away when we just see houseless folks as pariahs or parasites of the system instead of human beings that have been oppressed by the system.
They try and figure it out themselves when all they should do is come down here and ask, you know, somebody sensible, hey, what can we do to make things better? And you get a sensible answer rather than trying to figure it out yourself from not being down here and having no knowledge or you know, of what it's like. But how are you going to fix a problem if you have no knowledge of it? So, we tried this, we tried that, but they're not trying what they need to try.
No, they've asked us numerous times, you know, at these different centers and whatnot for suggestions. We've told them the same things we say now, you know, but they don't listen. And it's very refreshing to finally have some people that listen. You know, they actually hear us and they take the time to get to know us also. You know, most people just drop stuff off and leave.
Well, I can tell you, you know, when I came down here today, there weren't a lot of people walking around. Right. Okay. And I was waiting for Errol. And it's like, I was basically afraid. Okay. Not of you. I was afraid of disturbing you. Oh. I didn't want to, you know, cause any people to, you know, jump up an alarm and who are you and what are you doing here? And it's like, okay, I'm just here.
Right. Right. I get that, you know.
I'm not going to knock on anyone's door, you know. Right. I don't know your sleep schedule.
Right. Right. Oh, yeah, it's no, usually it's no bother, you know. As you hear how Arrow came up and you said, hey, Rosie, you know.
Yeah, I actually saw you walk by earlier when I was out here, yeah. You know, and I pretty much seen that you weren't a threat or anything, you know, so.
Yeah. But I'm definitely not afraid of you guys. I mean, yeah. I really admire what you've built here over and over and over.
Yeah.
Well, there's a group in, can you say the name? Tacoma Housing Now. And I was going to say that. But, you know, they've been coming down for past couple of months now. And not only have they given us, like, help with, you know, like, food and water. Supplies. They've given us, cleaning supplies, medical attention, just their attention, you know. They've come down and just spent time with us, and they've talked, you know, spoke with us. I mean, you know, and they're not obligated to do so. You know, they don't have to do it. They're not. It's not mandatory for them. You know, they take the time, and that's another thing. They take the time, and you know, and that's just real rich with us. You know, we appreciate that, and to where it's not like they're just coming down to help. It's like now they're coming to visit. You know, and there's a friendship built, and
absolutely.
You know, and now we're getting to the point to where we're asking them about, you know, personal stuff in their lives, and you know, and it's growing, but it's just real good to see and feel just the presence from them. You know, when we see them pull up, everybody gets a little happy, and you know, and and they might not even have anything for us, but it's what they've done and what we already expect from them, which is just, you know, just love, and that goes a long way.
They come down, you know, they hang out with us, they talk with us, you know, we're not just
alone.
We're not, you know, we're not just a community they're just giving assistance to, or, you know, they involve themselves with us. So
thank you, Rosie and Nate and Arrow, for all you do.
The 509 community is not asking for much, and it is easy to help. You can go to Tacoma Housing Now website, which is tachousing.org, tachousing.org. They are also on Facebook. Food Not Bombs also has a Facebook page and an Instagram account. I would like to close with a remembrance of Tommy Hutchinson and the others who have lost their lives merely because they were homeless.